Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
There's one part of the book that I didn't get a chance to bring up. It's unbelievable. So Ernie Grunfeld was a Knick forever, played with the Knicks, front office, television, was a GM. And then when Jim Dolan finally took over as the owner of the team, he wanted Ernie Grunfeld fired. It was either Grunfeld or Van Gundy, because Grunfeld and Van Gundy didn't get along, according to the book. They deny it now, but at the time they butted heads. And Dolan decides that he doesn't want Dave Checkett to make the choice. He wants a choice. It's going to be Grunfeld. Because the players really wanted to keep Van Gundy. They love Van Gundy. And in the book, it says that Dolan didn't like the way Grunfeld's wife walked around the VIP restaurant they had at the Garden. I think at that point it was called Club 200, that she walked around like she owned the place, so he wanted him fired. And things have not been the same since then.
No, they have not. But it
although
takes
they back. They did make the run to that, the finals against the Spurs, but they just weren't good enough. They didn't have Patrick Ewing. He injured his Achilles, so they really were going in there with no weapons against Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Oh. But just a strange story.
Their last Michael, moment. Is there any Jordan stuff in the book?
Oh, there's Jordan stuff, how they were obsessed with stopping him. But it didn't really fixate on Jordan, just about the Knicks' relentless quest to defeat him. And then even when he was out of the game twice, that was when they had that chance and they just couldn't get over the hump. When he retired the first time, they faced the Rockets, but then Starks was 2-for-18. And then when he really retired again for the second time, there was actually a story in there that I didn't know that the second time he came back to the Bulls, he played 1 year, won a championship, and his contract was up. And he told Jerry Reinsdorf, "You give me $25 million for this year," which nobody had been paid at that point, "or I'm going to the Knicks, and they'll double it." And obviously, they gave him the money, but it would have been he was willing to go to the enemy. All right, we've been talking about this next guest for most of the day, and I know there are a lot of Ranger fans all are excited out there that he's going to be on, and he's on with us right now. Chris Kreider of the New York Rangers joins us here on the Michael K. Show. Chris, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, thanks for coming on. 30 goals at this point of the season. Is it even surprising to you that you have that many? You've never done that before in your career.
Yeah, I just think it's a direct reflection of how well the team's doing. Obviously, I'm in a pretty good position to tap home pucks when the power play is doing what they did and what we're doing 5-on-5. As a group, we're just worried about winning hockey games, and we've been doing a good job of that.
We don't get the access to you guys because of COVID and doing the games with Dave Maloney, and Dave's wondered about this, and I've been dying to ask you about it too. You never killed penalties before until last year, a little bit of an experiment under Quinn. Now you're doing it this year. Chris, has killing penalties made you a better player?
Yeah, I think so. Playing on the power play for as long as I have, being on the other side of it, I think it gives you a different perspective, kind of makes you understand what the penalty kill might have a little tough time with, what they're looking to do. So I definitely think having that different perspective might help. At the same time, it's something that I really enjoyed. Like you said, that for the majority of my pro career, going back to losing college, something that I'm enjoying doing, something I'm trying to get better at.
Well, we're going to have to try, Andrew, we're going to try to get Chris on a better line because he's cutting in and out, which it's hard to hear him, but maybe we could get him on a landline.
Let me ask Don a question, though, related to what you just asked, Chris, while we get him back. what would be the logic there in terms of how it could make a player better, Don? Just the way that you see the ice, the way you think of the game?
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're defending. Where will the offensive player be?
Right.
Where do I have to be? Where do I think the puck is going to go? And now that you are on the power play or five on five, now you can think in a different way.
Right.
I just think it opens up your mind to everything that's happening on the ice. And he went his entire career, never had a shorthanded goal. Now he's had two in the last six games. Like, so he's doing well killing penalties. And I don't think it's any coincidence. And he admitted through the crackling of the phone that vision and that anticipation he's been able to apply to the other aspects of his game. And no wonder he's having a career year.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we are lucky enough to get back Chris Kreider, who was in a bad cell area, so he joins us now. Chris, thanks for calling us back.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
That's okay.
You're in the middle of telling us why killing penalties has made you a better player.
Yeah, I think I mentioned just the perspective it offers from being on the other side of it. I mean, it's been a fun challenge and a fun opportunity for me. So, like I said, just something I'm trying to get better at every day.
You know, I thought the column that Larry Brooks wrote about you and spoke with you about it, that you've really grown as a player over all these years. I mean, you've been with the Rangers a long time. How have you grown, Chris? What's different about you as a 30-year-old than when you first got here?
I'd like to think everything, you know, especially in our game, but I think it applies to pro sports in general and even life. I mean, if you're not trying to improve and trying to get better every day, then I don't think you're really doing it right. Guys who are coming to the league now are so skilled, and I feel like the game's changed in a lot of ways, but also stayed the same. But, I mean, there's so many things that you can try to improve at every single day. It doesn't matter who you are. There's always something you can get better at, something that you can improve at. So just kind of having that beginner's mindset, I think, certainly helps.
Now, Chris, you in 2020, you signed a long-term deal. You've been here forever. Do you think about being a forever Ranger? And on that note, what are your feelings on Hank's jersey retirement this Friday?
Yeah, I mean, in the middle of the season, it's hard to think beyond the next game. But, I mean, I can't picture being anywhere else, and hopefully I never have to play anywhere else, because this has been my home and this has been the organization that's believed in me and given me an opportunity. So, you know, this is my family, and I hopefully it stays like that for the entirety of my career. That same note, I'm really looking forward to Henrik's big night. I mean, I think we all knew it was going to happen pretty shortly after his retirement, but it'll be a really cool thing to be there to see him get honored the way he obviously should be.
And then you go from one great goaltender to now Igor Shesterkin. I don't want to put him on Hank's level just yet, Chris, but what's it like to just have that security blanket to go from one great goaltender to now potentially going to another one?
Yeah, I've been spoiled my entire career here in New York. We've always had that element where, you know, we're never out of the game. Especially if you have a tough start like we have had a few times this season. You know he's going to be back there making the big save, and in any of those tight games too, he's going to make the big save and make it look easy. Do it with a calm and composed demeanor in the net. So just having that it just instills confidence throughout your lineup. So, yeah, obviously he's not quite there statistically, but I'm sure he will be if he keeps playing the way he is. And you know, there's definitely a lot of similarities between him and Henrik.
Chris Kreider, who leads the NHL with 30 goals this season for the Rangers, is our guest here on the show. Chris, obviously people thought that the team was going to improve this year, that it was a good team. I don't know if anybody thought this highly that they would be at this point, in this point of the season. Did the players think, hey, we could finish in first place, or did you think it was just going to be slow but steady?
Yeah, I mean, our goal every single year at the beginning of the year is to punch our tickets to the dance, to make the playoffs. That's something we always believe that we're capable of doing. Obviously, we've had a very difficult division, and the last few years probably haven't gone the way we wanted to, but we always believe that we could be there. And, I mean, that was something that we talked about at the beginning of the year. Like, it was, you know, we're going to make the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs. We're here to win hockey games. And as much as we've talked about that and over the last few years and since I've been here, the focus has definitely been on that and only that. It's all about coming to the rink and winning hockey games and having fun doing it.
Now, most of your goals come with you parked in front of the net on deflections. How scary a place is right in front of the net?
Depends who's shooting. No, I mean, it's a simple concept, something that we talk about a lot. I think only a handful of guys in the league can score from range consistently and are in a position to do that. So whether it's 5-on-5 or on the power play, I think that's where you got to go to try to score goals, to try to get in or around the crease and try to jump on the loose pucks and create a little havoc. So I think that's something that we've all discussed and all talked about as a way to generate offense consistently as a group.
How is this team under Gallant better and different than it was under Quinn?
Obviously, there's a lot of different players. It's a different looking group. I think there's more of an emphasis on individual roles, and guys understand what they're here to do, which makes it a little easier for guys to do their jobs, knowing that they're going to go out and do a very specific thing that's going to help the team win, and ultimately that creates that environment where everyone understands that they're adding to the group and that they're an important part of what we're trying to do, because ultimately this is this is ultimately a team game, right? More so than I think any other sport. Doesn't matter if, you've got the best player in the world on your team, he's still only going to be out there for maybe a third of the game. Obviously, not including the goaltender, but, you truly need to have a deep group, a deep team of guys who understand what they need to do to help the team win to have success at this level.
Do you feel like, because what happened against Colorado and Calgary and Vegas, that you feel like every time you go up against a great team that you're trying to prove to everybody that you belong? Are you conscious of that when you step on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, we view it as a challenge. We're really excited to play in those games. We realize it's a good measuring stick for us to see where we're at. And I think that we've certainly showed glimpses of what we can do against those teams. We're definitely a little bit more upset when those games don't go our way, but at the same time, we have shown flashes of the kind of team that we can be, and shown that we can be competitive with those teams, and we're all excited and looking forward to taking the next step towards playing a full 60 against some of those teams that are kind of at the top of the ladder there, because we know those are the kind of teams that we're going to face if we want to go on a deep playoff run.
Yeah. Chris, this team really seems like it likes each other. Do you guys really like each other? It seems like everybody's pulling on the same end of the rope. They're not pulling against each other. And you don't see that all the time. There are teams, and then there are real teams. This one looks really close. Am I accurate on that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I've been very lucky for the entirety of my career here. Sometimes you hear horror stories about other locker rooms around the league. But credit to the management here and the kind of players and the kind of people that they bring in. We've always had a very tight-knit group and a very good group of human beings. So I mean, that definitely applies to this group. I mean, you got a good blend of guys who have experience in the league and who have played for a number of years and considered veterans, and then that youthful energy. And you definitely have a bunch of young guys who come to the rink looking to get better every single day and are excited to be there and cut their teeth at this level. But I mean, that can be applied to the older guys too. Everyone's looking forward to coming to the rink every single day and trying to improve, because we know, you know, it's not necessarily how you start. Obviously, you want to bank points at the beginning of the year, but you want to continue to get better as individuals and as a team heading towards the end of the season. And I think that's something that kind of starts with our coaching staff. So yeah, it's definitely a tight knit group, and guys get along great. It's been awesome.
Now, Gallant after the game said he didn't view 5-on-5 as a problem for your team, but would you say it's an area that needs to improve if you're going to continue at this pace in the second half?
I think it's an area of opportunity for us. I mean, for us to have the success that we've had to this point in the season, I mean, I think we know that as a group that we have skill, we can create, we can generate offense, and oftentimes we can be pretty opportunistic too, and we can score in bunches. And if, you know, we can do that over the course of 60 minutes more consistently, I think we're going to be a very, very difficult team to beat. So we know we can be better, and we know we will be better ultimately.
Chris Kreider, we thank you for coming on. We are rooting for you to become the first Ranger to lead the league in goals in 80 years. I know that's a long stretch, a lot of pressure on you, Chris, but that's what we do here.
No biggie.
But we wish you good luck on that.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. We're just focused on winning hockey games and ultimately trying to bring that cup back to New York. But thank you for that.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good one.
You too. So great season so far for Chris Kreider. Great season for the Rangers as well. Now, it's been a good season for the Nets, but a report today makes you wonder how much pressure is on the Net organization to actually win this championship this year. We'll talk about that when we get back. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.